A note to listeners. This episode of OJT is part of a crossover with Maddie's Mental Health Podcast, hosted by today's guest. Maddie's Mental Health Podcast is a place where people share their real-life stories with mental health. The podcast can be found on YouTube and all streaming platforms. Maddie also does personal training under his business, Move Forward Fitness. He does online and in-person training with a personalized, holistic approach to health and wellness. You can find more information on social media pages under Move Forward Fitness. Be sure to check out my story on Maddie's show, where I talk about living with Crohn's disease and how chronic illness impacts mental health. Hello, listeners. I'm Logan McLean, and this is OJT, On the Job Training. It's a podcast where I, a journalism student, practice my craft by interviewing passionate people about their projects. Maddie Burke is back to talk about Maddie's Mental Health Podcast. When Maddie experienced a tragic loss in his early 20s, he knew he had to do something to give back and raise awareness. We talk today about how he came to podcasting, what it's done for him, and why he's working to destigmatize mental illness. So I think we'll shift gears a little bit here, and we could talk about Maddie's Mental Health Podcast. You've already mentioned mental health kind of being tied into physical health a couple of times. So it seems that's an important issue for you, eh?
I think physical and mental health are one and the same, and that's how I treat it. It's the exact same thing. If you are super anxious, your heart's going to beat faster. You're going to be sick to your stomach. If you're depressed, you're going to not be able to sleep. You're going to have no energy. There's nothing going on physically, quote unquote, you know, it's what's going on mentally, and they're just one and the same. You know, physical and mental health are one and the same. It's a full picture, and that's how I try to approach it.
So with your podcast, you bring on guests and have them kind of tell their story about struggling with mental health issues, and you do, from my perspective, a great job of working to destigmatize mental health stuff. How did you get into this though?
It was a little over 4 years ago, I guess before 4 years ago this year, I lost someone to suicide. The girl I was dating at the time committed suicide. And I was 20, and that was a huge, life change for me. And it was a long time of grieving and coming to grips with that, and a lot of struggle that came with that. I was a mental health supporter before that. I didn't really know too much about it, but I think that was really just the turning point. And I just, like, after that happened, my mind was looking for something to give back. Like as soon as that happened, like I knew that I had to, my mind immediately went to like some sort of charity or something, but I just had to give back and make like some kind of positive out of this in the future, because I was in so much pain, and I just felt like, how do I do something with this? So it's not just, negative. And I didn't know what that was for a long time. And a few years later, I ended up getting into podcasts. And I thought it would be really cool to make a podcast where people could just share their story, you know, and like really just share what they've been through, because the huge problem, and it's been proven in all my episodes, it's super common, is that everyone feels like they're alone. Everyone feels like they're the only one that's going through this. And, you know, if I could just give a platform for people to share their story, like maybe that would help others feel like they're not alone and understand that they're not at all the only person going through this.
You said it took a while to figure out what to do. What did you do before then? How did you cope?
To cope, I did a lot of things, man. I think it was just horrible for a while. Like I don't think I'll sugarcoat it. Like it was just, you know, the whole first year you're just in shock, and everything's like, oh, this is crazy. You don't think it's real. And then the second year is like worse. I did a lot of binge drinking and and stuff like that. But, you know, that wasn't forever. It was mostly just a few summers of that. But as far as what I would do every day, I take my dogs for a hike every day for, you know, like at least now it's more like a half hour, 45 minutes. But back then it was like an hour to 3 hours to 4 hours. And I would just, that was my time to work through what was going on in my mind, you know? And, also I started going to counseling right away, and that really, really helped me. And as well as keeping my connections close, like my family, and, my family was huge for that, super supportive of everything I was going through, my friends, and you know, her family as well too. It was just, it was a hard time to get through it.
You said the second year was harder. Why was that?
The second year, I heard other people talk about this too. Like the first year, it doesn't seem real. So you go through all the first, like, you're like, oh, it's the summer. Oh, it's Christmas. So it's, you know, and it's like, it's just because, you know, the first thing I realized when, and I think it's worth mentioning, the first thing I realized when after she died was like what's really important, you know? I think we get so wrapped up in like materialistic things like, oh, I got to have the house and the whatever, and I got to have the job and all that stuff. And you just realize when someone dies that you love, you know, like you have the people that you love, like your family and your friends that are like family, those close connections. Maybe it's like four or five people. If one of those people die, then you don't really care about anything else, you know, nothing really matters. It's almost comical how little all that stuff matters all of a sudden, you know, when you lose someone, when you lose one of those people that you really love. So the first year was all just, first like, oh, this is weird. And you know, your mind is still kind of playing tricks on you. Like, oh, this is like a one-off. And it, not that it wasn't hard. I mean, it was terrible. But the second year is like, okay, like your brain is like, this is real. Like, you know, you're like, you realize like, oh, okay, this isn't like a one-off thing. Like this actually happened and I actually have to like pick up the pieces and deal with this. And, yeah. So I think like that second summer, I just like binge drank a lot. And I just didn't want to feel what I was going through, and ended up getting really sick. It's another thing I had going on too. I had kind of like a stomach thing going on, and I made myself really, really sick. And that's been going on since my teens as well. So it really took until now. I mean, that was three years ago when all this happened, that the second year, and really took until now where my stomach feels good and my mind feels good. And it just, it doesn't get easier overnight. It takes a long time.
Does it get easier?
It does get easier. Yeah. And they do say like it gets easier with time, and it is very true. But I think what's important is that you have to go through it too, though. You know, it's not just that a year or 2 years and 3 years and 4 years will go by and all of a sudden you'll feel better. It's, you have to go through the work of it. You have to go to counseling. You have to take care of yourself. You have to do healthy things. You have to talk. You have to share. You have to, get your feelings out, you know, like if you push it down and just say, oh, I'm going to go work, or I'm just going to go distract myself as much as possible, you're never really going to get to the root of what you're feeling. And I think that's true for mental health as well. I think distractions are great, and you know, we should stay busy and we should stay productive and we should have a purpose. I think that's really important for healthy mental health. But I think that we should address how we really feel. And I think that's super important to truly be able to move on, whether that's having a conversation with someone that you've been pushing off, or saying how you really feel, or going to a counselor, or letting out how you feel. And it could also be, you know, your habits too, like starting with physical exercise, and maybe you have a breathing practice that helps you relax your mind before you go to sleep and go outside more, get some vitamin D. All these things kind of come together.
Have you always been this kind of, honestly, like, wise about this sort of stuff, because not many people, especially, you know, you're a fairly young person, are so understanding of that and willing to admit it to themselves too. Were you always like that, or did this happening to you kind of open your eyes in that direction?
I think this happening to me was the big, is what happened. It just made me understand things in a whole new light. You know, before I didn't have the capacity. I wouldn't have the capacity to say everything I just said. I wouldn't have the capacity to do the podcast I do. I think there's just the level of pain and the reality of life made me look at things in a different way, and kind of help me see things for the way they are. And that's what's helped me, you know, with the ability to do this podcast, because I never would have been able to do it before.
Did you immediately, like, go to professional help, or were you kind of, like, wary of that? I know people have pretty wide-ranging opinions on, you know, getting help.
Yeah, I went right away, and I wanted to. And I was lucky that I got into someone really good and a good counselor. And, I just knew right away that I had to do it. I mean, there was so much on my mind that was like, I couldn't even begin to think about how I was going to unpack it. Like, if you think about, like, you know, just losing someone, like, I mean, this was very unexpected. Like, one day everything is fine, and the next day it's upside down. Like, it just, you know, and again, it goes back to those connections. Like, you know, if you lose, like, your brother, your mom, your dad, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your best friend, you know, those, like, those really tight, close connections. Like, if that just, out of nowhere, you lose that, like, I didn't know how to unpack it. And counseling is something that I kind of always wanted to do anyway. I mean, I talked a little bit about how I was troubled when I was younger, and I always felt like I had a lot on my mind, and it would have been good to talk to somebody, but I was scared to. And that's, I always try to be an advocate for counseling and stuff, because, you know, I almost wish I went way earlier. But yeah, for me, I didn't have a stigma towards it. I just knew I had to go.
Why were you scared to go when you were younger?
I was scared to admit that I had a problem. I was scared to admit that, I think I was scared to face what I had going through my head. And I was scared of other people's opinions. I mean, I don't think people were talking about as much mental health back then. And, this would have been like late 2000s, 2008, 2009, 2010 or something. And I just was scared. I was honestly just scared of it. And, but I felt like it would help me. And I, you know, that breaks my heart that people feel like that. And, you know, adults feel like that today, right now. They feel like they're terrified. And I've heard it many times, you know, terrified of other people's opinions. Like, people think I'm crazy, or people will think I'm like weak, you know? And I think it's worth mentioning too, like, I was looking at some statistics. Like, I think it's like 80% of suicides are men.
It's certainly disproportionate.
Yeah, you're 3 times more likely to die from suicide if you're a man or a boy. You know, earlier we were talking about, you know, it's good to have for young boys to have like an outlet, and girls do too, just as much. But I think that guys are scared of being seen as weak. I think that's something in society that needs to be changed. And I think it just has to be done in a way that doesn't turn guys off to it. I think we just need to understand that, like, it's almost the opposite. Like, if you have something that's really bothering you and you're not doing well, it's almost like it takes a strong person to admit they have a problem. It takes a strong person to go and say, I'm not feeling right, I'm not okay. You know, it's easy to bottle in. It's a path of least resistance. You know, you have to face your demons. And I think that's what I was scared to do when I was a kid.
Yeah, it takes strength to overcome something. It doesn't take strength to lift something that isn't heavy to you, you know, to bring it to a sports metaphor. It's when you push through that last rep that you're about to fail and you still go for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it takes courage.
For sure. And I think, I'm not going to harp on this too much, but I think that's kind of like the message that needs to get out there is like men need to have courage and they need to be strong and face their demons. Because I think what turns them off is that, you know, they feel like it's like a weakness or they feel like, men should be strong. They should, do the things they want to do. They should be providers or whatever they want to do, but you have to be strong and face your demons as well and face your emotions and not pretend like you don't have emotions or you won't be able to live your life to the fullest and you will end up, you know, at the very least, hurting yourself, you know, mentally.
Or hurting others.
Yeah, or hurting others. Like, it affects all your relationships, you know? If you're like a distant father because you are depressed, you know, or you have terrible anxiety and you're a distant husband, and this goes for any gender as well too, like it's going to completely affect your life if you're not happy and you have to face that in order to enjoy your life. And that's really what it comes down to, is enjoying your life and enjoying your relationships. And if you're not well, you have to take care of yourself. And it's scary and it takes courage, but you have to do it.
Yeah, I guess it takes kind of rethinking what strength and courage are.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I see like things where people are advocating for men to be more emotional. And I think that kind of turns some men off. Coming from a male's perspective and someone who's been around a lot of like high testosterone, you know, football locker rooms and stuff. And I think all this is changing with society, but I think that it needs to be reframed that you need to have courage. Because it takes courage. It's not about being like, quote unquote, showing more emotion or, you know what I mean? Like it's about facing your demons and understanding that you're going to be less of a functional, happy human being unless you face your demons.
How do you get people to see that?
I'm not sure how you get people to see that. I think just to talk about it, number one. I think a lot of people don't even talk about it. And just to, do what we're doing right now, have podcasts about it, and encourage, you know, think it from like a grassroots, like I think doing what you can to help, I think it comes down to the individual. And that's kind of what I wanted to say in this podcast as well, is what really what's going on with mental health right now, it comes down to the individual. You know, it comes down to doing what you can for yourself, number one, and then for the people around you. So whether that's taking care of yourself in all the ways I've mentioned earlier, reaching out to your friend that you think might not be doing well and just being open and supportive, or your family or whoever it is. And then if you want to take an action, maybe you are a coach, maybe you start telling kids these things at a young age. Maybe you're a teacher and you try to be super supportive and you start telling kids at a young age. And you know, whatever you can do as the individual, I think that's how things change. It starts with the person and the people that are connected to them, the individual.
Have you heard from any listeners or guests on your show that they've kind of changed their thinking?
I've got a ton of messages of people just reaching out and say like, thanks so much. I was going through a hard time. This really helped me. I love what you're doing. I had blah, blah, blah. And you know, anytime I get a message that says that it was helpful, it's the whole reason I do it. Like if honestly, my thought behind it was I can help one person even a little bit, then it would be 100% worth it. So I've had messages like that, and I've had people have told me too, like they'll say like, I had no idea what people go through. I had no idea, you know, what it's like in your story. You know, there's a kind of like two avenues for it. There's one is for the people that are suffering, and it's to help them feel like they're not alone and understand and, you know, hopefully help them push towards the help. You know, most people have honor are kind of through the worst of it, and they're just, you know, they've been through it where they've learned how to navigate it and have gotten better. And then also I think the second avenue is people that haven't been through this yet. I know we all have mental health. I think that's a huge thing that the state, like we all have mental health, like we all have physical health. But I think the second avenue is people that have never experienced any sort of mental health, to this degree. And it's mind opening for them to realize what people go through and things like that.
Has doing the show changed your thoughts? Like, have you had guests that kind of, you know, opened your eyes to something?
100%. I learned so much from doing it. I love talking to people, and I always have, and I love having these deeper conversations about life. And that's why I like doing it as well. But I feel like I learn from everybody. I learn from their perspective. I learn, like, how they cope with life. I learn kind of their story. And it's to be honest, on a bigger scale, how it's changed my perspective. It's just how common this is. I knew it was really common. I mean, in my young life before I lost anybody to suicide or anything, like, I just knew depression was so common. I went through it myself, and I was around a lot of people that went through it, and it was just like, it was so common. And but it's even more common than I thought. I think, you know, it's everybody goes through hard times to a degree, and then you have you know, deeper into the spectrum you have more serious mental health, and there's a lot of it going on for sure.
Were there any episodes that you found really difficult to get through?
I don't think there's been any episodes that have been really difficult to get through. I think everybody I had on has been really great. And I'm really thankful that everybody has reached out. I haven't had to reach out to people very much. A lot of people reached out to me. Well, it's just been great. I'm just honored to do it. And I'm honored people want to come on and share their story. And hopefully it helps others. But there hasn't been too many episodes where it was hard to get through. I mean, I think I've kind of developed a process where, you know, I just want to make sure that people are okay before they come on, and they're in the right place to come on. It's pretty tough to come on and talk about your struggles when you're right in the middle of them. You know, like, it would be hard for me to tell my story about grief when I was right in the middle of grief. You know, it's just, it's tough to have any hindsight. So I just try to make sure that is the case. And, for the most part it has been. So I haven't had any episodes that have been hard to get through.
What do you do to prepare people?
I just ask a series of questions. I just ask, I try to get to know them first. Like, I mean, we did a little conversation over the phone before we did this podcast. And that's something that I do sometimes as well. And I make sure that I ask just what their story is. I try to get just a kind of an overview of their story over Messenger, like just, what their story is and where they're at now and stuff like that. And I just try to get a feel for where they're at and if they're in a good place, you know. And I mean, you don't have to be, no one's at 100%. I mean, it's always on a spectrum, but I just mean, if I feel they're healthy enough and to come on and they have something that they want to share, then it's always a yes.
You could probably tell by even the sound of their voice if they're ready for it, eh?
Yeah, I think it's just, you just want to make sure they're healthy.
What about telling your story? I know I was actually listening to that again today. How tough was that?
How tough was it?
Yeah.
It was tough for sure. It gave me a whole new respect of people I have on. because, you know, I did, that was number 10 where I did mine. And it is really hard to not only tell your story, but tell it in a way that makes sense and get the points across that you want to get across. You know, tell it in a linear way.
Yeah, you even said that you had notes, which I was like, yeah, I think you would need notes to get through that.
Yeah, I definitely did. And like a lot of people don't that come on. And it's amazing because, like, you know, for me, and it just goes back to what I just said about, like, it's hard to reflect on it when you're going through it. Like, it was tough to me to reflect on it. And, you know, and I did go through it, or I was reflecting on what was in the past, but it was hard to like differentiate, like, okay, like this happened and how did I feel here? And, you know, it's tough when you're just going through it, you're just trying to survive. It's tough to actually think, okay, that happened and this is how I felt and this is what I did and everything like that.
Had you ever like laid it out in one long narrative like that before?
Like my story?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time I did it, for sure.
What was it like editing that and having to listen back to it?
It was heavy, man. I mean, it was heavy for sure. It's definitely super emotional. I mean, I probably cried when I listened to it, I imagine. There's been times where I just listened to it kind of out of the blue, and it reminds me of where I was and where I am now and what I went through. And it is emotional for sure. And I was kind of in a bad place when I did it. I was going through a lot of stuff, and